Welcome, everyone, to this pre-recorded worship service. This is being recorded on Friday evening, 26th of March, and it's for our evening service on the Lord's Day of the 28th of March. I was looking up my records, and this is the 27th Friday night that we've been here for pre-recording. Just a few announcements. The morning service, God willing, on the 28th of March at 12 noon in the church hall, and that will be uploaded to the website and copies made for CDs, and the CDs distributed on Monday. We're into the Easter holiday period. There'll not be any midweek meeting this Wednesday evening. Next Lord's Day, then the 4th of April, morning service, God willing, at 12 noon in the church hall, and the evening service is due to be pre-recorded on Friday, the 2nd of April. And then just further ahead, a reminder to elders that the session is due to meet on Wednesday night, the 7th of April. That's in the church hall at 8 o'clock, Wednesday, the 7th of April. So those are the announcements. We come to worship God, singing praise. The psalm is 91, and it's the A version of Psalm 91. We sing the first four stanzas. The tune is Woodworth, number 39. Psalm 91a. The man who in the sheltered place of the Most High dwells by his grace will with Almighty God abide, and in his shadow safely hide. And stanza four, beneath his wings you will abide, his feathers will you safely hide, his faithfulness will be for you shield and protector ever true. And the scriptures give us many different pictures of how God is the one who shelters and protects his people. And we praise him for his faithfulness in this. And we do so using these four stanzas of Psalm 91a, the first four stanzas, the tune number 39. We sing these words in praise to God, and then I'll speak to God in prayer.
The man who in the sheltered place of the Most High dwells by his grace will with Almighty God abide, and in his shadow safely hide. I therefore to the Lord will say, he is my refuge, my sure stay, my Satan. Strength.
we speak to God in prayer. Lord in heaven, we praise you for the God that you are to your people. We thank you for your great faithfulness. We thank you that you are a shield, that you are a protector to your people. We give thanks, Lord, that you are the one who is a refuge and a sure stay. And we praise you for the blessing of dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, we look to you as the one who is able to look after your own. And we thank you for how you do that and how you have always done that. We pray now that you will help us in this time of worship. We pray that you will speak to us through the scriptures that you have preserved for us. And we pray, Lord, that the things that we see there will turn our hearts to you, that will give us causes for rejoicing, for thankfulness. And we pray, Lord, that you would use your word for your good purposes in our lives. Forgive us our sins, we pray. Work among us by your Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to read from God's Word, and reading from the Gospel of John. Last week in the evening service, I was looking at John chapter 9, and I want to read the first half of John chapter 10 on this occasion. John chapter 10, it's page 950 in our church Bible, and we read the first 21 verses. The Lord Jesus is speaking here at the start. And it says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, "He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" And we end our reading there at verse 21. Well, last week we were considering the episode in John chapter 9 where Jesus heals a man who had been born blind. And soon after this man has been healed, he is put out of the synagogue by the Jews. They tell him that he doesn't belong there anymore. Jesus, on the other hand, had sought the man out and had saved him and had brought him into the very family of God. And it was impossible for both of them to be right. What we have in the first half of chapter 10 is the Lord Jesus speaking and claiming that he is the one who is the true shepherd of God's people, and that the leaders of the Jews are, in fact, nothing but thieves and robbers. And at the end of this section that we've read, we find that the people, the ordinary Jewish people, are again divided. Some of them claim that Jesus is demon-possessed, and others argue that no one with a demon could open the eyes of the blind. Well, I want to speak, first of all, from these verses about false or fake shepherds. Part of what Jesus has to say in these verses is a warning of the danger, a warning to be on the lookout for fake shepherds. Verse 1, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." And by contrast, the real shepherd does enter through the door or through the gate, and he is recognized by the one who is the doorkeeper or the gatekeeper. And Jesus says the same kind of thing in verse 8. He says, "All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers." Verse 10, he says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." And verse 12 into 13, "A hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep." And here Jesus is warning about the true nature of the Jewish leaders of his day. They were not men who were truly seeking the good of those who were entrusted to their care. The Jewish leaders that were out to get Jesus, they were more interested in themselves than they were in looking after others. They were interested in how they could use their exalted position to feather their own nests. And they didn't really care about ordinary people like the man who was born blind. They were thieves and they were robbers rather than shepherds. They made themselves out to be shepherds, but that's not what they were. They were fake shepherds. And what was true in the days of the Lord Jesus is true today also. There are millions upon millions of people throughout the world who have religious leaders that they look up to, but those religious leaders are really just assisting those people on the road to hell. And there are many, many fake shepherds. There are too many to describe or to label. And we have to beware of the danger of fake shepherds. But what is far more important is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as the real shepherd, as our shepherd, because Jesus is no thief. Jesus is no robber. Jesus is no fake. And he tells us here about what kind of shepherd he is. And this all stands in contrast to what the Jewish leaders, the fake shepherds, were like. So moving from the fake shepherds, we come to consider the good shepherd. And the main thrust of what Jesus has to say here in these verses is found in verse 11 and also in verse 14, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And he is emphasizing the kind of shepherd that he is. And although the word is always translated as good, it's not the normal word for good that Jesus uses. The word that he uses to describe himself is a word that normally means beautiful, and it can mean excellent. And that's what Jesus is. Jesus is the excellent shepherd. He excels in the work of shepherding. He does a beautiful, masterly job. Jesus is not just a good shepherd. He is the masterly shepherd. And in his description of himself within these verses, Jesus has many ways in which he highlights the kind of shepherd that he is. And I want to note some of the things that Jesus is saying here about himself as the good shepherd. First one is that he knows his sheep individually. Verse 3, Jesus is the one who calls his own sheep by name. He calls his own sheep by name. And in verse 14, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep." It was common in the days of Jesus and in the part of the world where he lived for more than one flock of sheep to be kept in the same sheepfold overnight. And then in the morning, the shepherd would come and he would call his sheep to himself. And the sheep would recognize the voice of their shepherd, and they would come normally. But what if they didn't? What if there's a few that didn't come? Well, the shepherd would know. He would know which sheep were his sheep. And Jesus is claiming this for himself, that he calls his own sheep by name. He knows his people individually. And for everyone who has the Lord as their shepherd, he knows us. We're not just one of many to him, but he knows us by name. He calls us by name. We're not lost in the crowd. He knows us. We are special to him. Jesus is a shepherd who knows his sheep individually. Jesus is also a shepherd who leads his sheep. He says in verse 3 that the shepherd leads them out, leads them out from the sheepfold. In verse 4, he says, "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." And so the Lord Jesus is the kind of shepherd who leads from the front, not driving from behind, but leading from the front. And he calls upon his people to go where he himself has already gone. And Jesus has known all sorts of troubles, all sorts of hardships, all sorts of pain and suffering. And where the Good Shepherd leads his people, he is leading. He has been there before we are called to be there. So Jesus is the one who leads his sheep. As a good shepherd, he leads his sheep. Then he also talks about the kind of shepherd he is, and he describes himself as being the door or the gate of the sheep. Verse 7, he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door," or "I am the gate of the sheep." And in verse 9, he says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." Jesus is the door or the gate. He is the way in. If you want to be among the people of God, well, Jesus is the door. Jesus is the gate. And you get in through Jesus. And the way into the presence of God and into the people of God is opened through Jesus. And Jesus says that whoever enters through him will be saved. Whoever enters. If anyone enters by me, he says, he will be saved. Verse 9. There are no exceptions. There are no exclusions. All who come to Christ will be saved. And only those who are willing to enter through Christ will be saved. That's the only way in, and that's the way you have to go. It's not enough to know that there is a gate. There's many people know that there is a gate or there is a door. It's not knowing that there is one that makes the difference. It's not knowing where the door is or what the door is like. That's not the thing that is all important. It is entering through the door that is all important. Entering through the gate. You can't be one of the people of God unless you enter through that door or gate that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who enters by him will be saved. Anyone. And Jesus is also a gate or a door in the sense of being the protector of his sheep. All who enter the fold are kept safe within it. The fold is a safe place. And sometimes the sheepfold wouldn't have a physical gate. There would just be a gap there and nothing to fill the gap. And so the shepherd would lie down in the gap. At night, he would lie across the entrance, and he would be the gate. He would be the door. Anything that wanted to go into the fold, he was there. They would have to get past him. And the sheep knew they'd be safe, because there was the shepherd. He was the gate. He was the door to protect them, to keep them in, and to keep their enemies out. Jesus says, I am the door. Jesus is also a shepherd in that he provides abundantly for his sheep. Verse 9, he says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And along with the safety within the fold comes an abundance of space in which to graze. And sheep are happy when they have plenty of grass and when they are safe. And those that the Lord saves, he doesn't leave to starve, but he leads in the green pastures, as Psalm 23 speaks of. The Lord provides abundantly. And then we're told that the Lord Jesus is such a good shepherd that he lays down his life for his sheep. Those who cared nothing for the sheep would run away when danger came. But Jesus says that the good shepherd lays down his life, or gives his life, for the sheep, verse 11. And, of course, this speaks of the death that the Lord Jesus would die at Calvary. And at Calvary, Jesus was not overpowered by men, but he chose to lay down his life. Verse 15, he talks about laying down his life for the sheep. And what Jesus did at Calvary was the fulfillment of what Isaiah wrote about many years earlier. Isaiah 53, verse 6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Jesus died, and the iniquity of his people was laid on him. He was the good shepherd, and he was laying down his life for the sake of his sheep. And Jesus shows the depth of his love and his care for his sheep, that he willingly lays down his life for them. And we can rejoice in this great shepherd who is willing to even lay down his life for his sheep. Jesus also speaks about the kind of shepherd he is, in that he speaks about an extending flock. Verse 16, he speaks about those who weren't Jews, but who would become his sheep. And he indicates that although his people will come from different backgrounds, there will still only be one flock. Jesus says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. This is verse 16. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. And we today, who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are among those other sheep that Jesus mentions here. Jesus says, other sheep I have. And all the people of Gentile background, we are those other sheep. And we have been brought in by the one shepherd, and we're part of the one flock. So Jesus has an extending flock. And then the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep also speaks about how he will take his life up again. And for the sheep, the thought of the shepherd laying down his life for them, well, that would be something of a mixed blessing. They'd be glad that they didn't die, that the shepherd died instead of them. But what are they going to do now? They don't have a shepherd. Well, Jesus assures them that they will not be left without a shepherd. Now, verses 17 and 18. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. And the Lord Jesus did not, by his death, leave his sheep and forsake his sheep. And Jesus will never do that. But the Lord Jesus, he took his life up again. And in Hebrews 13, verse 20, the risen Lord Jesus is described as that great shepherd of the sheep. And all of those who love the Lord have a great shepherd today. In 1 Peter 2:25, Peter says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." The Lord Jesus is this great, excellent, living shepherd to his people this day and every day. Jesus is the good shepherd, but he's more than just good. He is the beautiful shepherd. He is the excellent shepherd. He is the one who is the master shepherd. Then, having thought about fake shepherds and the good shepherd, I want in the third place to speak briefly about blessed sheep. What is it like to have a shepherd like this? What is it like to be able to say honestly, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Well, that is a truly wonderful blessing. And within these verses, there are some things that Jesus says that will be true of those who truly are his sheep. Jesus says in verse 3, he says that his sheep hear his voice. And in verse 4, he says that his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Here is something that is true of every Christian. Everyone who truly is one of Christ's sheep, everyone who truly is trusting in Jesus, the Good Shepherd, Christ's sheep listen to him and follow him. "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep follow me," says Jesus. We know that his words are true. We know that his ways are good. And what a blessing it is to have a shepherd that we can trust completely. And we don't need to know what lies ahead of us in life. We don't need to know what way things will be for us in 3 months' time, or 9 months' time, or 3 years' time, or 9 years' time. We just need to know that it is the Good Shepherd that is leading us, and we can follow him. And Jesus, as well as saying what his sheep will do, listen to him, follow him, he also says about what his sheep will not do. Verse 5, they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And those who are the Lord's people will not listen to the fake shepherds and the many voices that cry out asking to be followed. They know that there is only one good shepherd, and there is only one true way, and that's his way, and the way in which he leads. Those who are Christians will recognize what is not the voice of Christ and will reject that voice. And Jesus speaks in these verses about the kind of life that he gives to those who do follow him, those who hear his voice, those who follow him. The fake shepherds What do you get from them? Well, they come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Many people are following fake shepherds. And many of the things that people are living for today and giving themselves to today, those things are slowly but surely killing them. And they're destroying their lives. And people's lives are being shriveled up and they're shrinking like prunes. But not so for those who follow the Lord Jesus. Jesus gives a different kind of life. He doesn't give a shrinking life where all the sap and goodness is disappearing. But Jesus says in verse 10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And it is this abundant life, this fullness of life, that the Lord Jesus gives to those who follow him. And that fullness of life cannot be found anywhere else. You'll not find it by following anywhere else, anyone else, or following the desires of your own heart. You'll only find fullness of life by following the Good Shepherd. Without Christ, there is no fullness. Without Christ, there is emptiness of life. Lots of different kinds of emptiness of life. And you can try one emptiness, and then you can try another emptiness, and another emptiness. Different kinds of things you can chase after in life, but always there'll be an emptiness. But Jesus Christ gives life to the full. He gives life that is more abundant. And that's true, not just in the life to come, the age to come, but it's true in this life also. In Jesus Christ, there is life that is more abundant. So all in all, in the way that Jesus is speaking of himself here, he's showing us that it's a wonderful thing to know Jesus as our shepherd. It's a wonderful thing to be one of Christ's sheep. And that man that was born blind, that chapter 9 is all about, he was a great illustration of this. What had the Jewish leaders ever done for that man? What good had they ever been to him? But look at what Jesus had done for him. The man could see, never been able to see. Now he could see. And his life was changed, and he had received forgiveness. And Jesus was the true shepherd. Jesus was the good shepherd. And so he is today. And without Jesus Christ, we will be lost. But with Jesus Christ, we will be safe, always safe. With the Lord, we will always be well fed. We will be kept on the straight and narrow if we follow him. We will enjoy the company of the rest of the flock that is also following him. We'll not be loners. We'll be part of a flock following the Good Shepherd. And we will forever be with the one who is our beautiful and excellent shepherd. So let us rejoice in the blessedness that there is in being one of Christ's sheep. If you know him, if you hear his voice, and if you follow him, well, you are blessed indeed. And you have life that is life to the full. You have life that is life more abundant. And the life you know at present is nothing compared to the eternal life that you will experience with the Lord your shepherd. It is a wonderful thing if you can truly say and truly sing, The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Well, we look to the Lord now as we pray. Gracious God in heaven, we praise you for the good shepherd, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you that it wasn't just words from him, but that all the actions were there to back up the words that he spoke. Thank you that he didn't just talk about laying down his life for his sheep, but that he did that. And that he didn't just talk about taking his life up again, but that he did that also. And we praise you that he is the living shepherd. And we thank you for the excellence of our shepherd. Lord, give us the faith that we need to trust him. Help us, Lord, to be those who hear his voice and know that that's a voice we can trust. We pray, Lord, that we will be among his sheep, that we will rejoice in the Lord as our shepherd. And we pray, O God, that you would make it so for us. We pray, Lord, for the world that we're living in at present. We pray for the parts of the world where there is much illness at present because of the coronavirus. We pray for Brazil in particular, and we pray for that land with many, many sick people, and the health service barely managing to cope. And God, we pray for your mercy towards that land, and we pray that there will be a change, and we pray that you will bring them through this testing time. We pray for various countries in Europe, mainland Europe at present, where things have been going in a bad direction recently, and we pray for the authorities in Poland and in Italy and in Germany and in France and in Czech Republic and other places, O Lord, and we pray that the measures that they're able to take will be beneficial, and that soon there will be a turnaround for the good. We pray, Lord, for our missionaries in mainland Europe, and we pray, Lord, for the cause of the gospel in France and in Spain. And we pray that you be working, Lord. We pray for all who serve you in those lands. We pray that you will cause their work to be fruitful. And we pray for our missionaries, for the Littles in Nantes. Pray for the Barakals in Malaga. And we pray, Lord, that you will keep them safe and well, strengthen them. And we pray that this time of year, Lord, there may be opportunities that will come their way in the midst of the Easter holidays and everything connected with that. Lord, give them wisdom and help in making the most of anything where there is an opening for the gospel. We remember our theological college students. Help them as they prepare for their exams. Give them perseverance in all that they have to try to retain. We pray that you'll keep them in good health, and that that they will know you're providing for them in these times. We pray, Lord, that you will be calling men to the work of gospel ministry. We pray that you'll be raising men up, that they will go and enter into the training. And we pray, O Lord, that we will have a good, healthy intake of students come September time. We pray that that will be clearly seen as being your answer to our prayers. Pray, Lord, for our land here in Northern Ireland. We pray for the situation with the implementation of abortion legislation. We pray for the Secretary of State, and we pray for his interaction with the Stormont Executive and all the different factors that are involved in that. And, O Lord, we pray that you would somehow turn this thing around for good, We struggle to see how a good outcome could come about. But, O Lord, we look to you and we pray for your mercy, that you would so work, Lord, that lives would be spared. And we ask, Lord, for your help in our ongoing life situations. We pray that you will give us day by day in life everything that we need for serving you. And we pray that you will help us to be good, faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep us, O Lord, from wandering off and going astray. Keep us from losing sight of him. We pray that we will strive to stay close to our Savior, that each day we will look to you in the scriptures and in prayer, and that, Lord, there will be a freshness to our faith, that we would have a daily walk with you. We pray that you hear all these our prayers, O Lord, and we pray that you will remind us of your truth and give us that faith in the one who is the Good Shepherd. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, we sing in closing then from Psalm 23. We sing the A version of Psalm 23. We use the tune Resignation, number 295. The Lord is my shepherd, no want will I have. Down in the green pastures he makes me to lie. Beside the still waters he leads me to rest. My soul he restores when I'm faint and oppressed. The Lord knows his sheep individually. He knows when we are weak. He knows when we are faint. He knows when we are oppressed. And he is able to lead us and provide for us and care for us as is fitting. And we have that assurance at the end of the psalm. A comfort for life in this world and for eternal life. Your goodness and mercy will follow my days, and then I will dwell in the Lord's house always. Psalm 23a, the tune 295. We sing these verses in praise to God, and then afterwards I'll close in the benediction.
The Lord is my shepherd, no want will I have. Down in the green pastures he makes me to lie. Beside the still waters he leads me to rest. My soul he restores when I'm faint and oppressed. In right ways he leads me for his own name's sake. And though through the veil of death's shadow I walk, since you are there with me, no spread me a tear.
receive God's blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.